Hey guys, this is Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and I'm here with AMBJ21, and we're going to talk a bit about his card carrying journey and a little teaser, some of his best backoffs that Ping Pong definitely wanted to hear. And so today I'm actually doing two interviews. I'm interviewing AMBJ21, and then in a little bit I'll be interviewing Ping Pong, and I'm actually really interested to hear. They've got different stories, but you'll be able to hear a couple different perspectives on Advantage Play. With all that being said, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Awesome. So starting at the beginning, when did you first get into card counting and how?
I thought about this and I remember I'd always see something like that. I didn't know how it worked at all. I just thought, oh man, it'd be great if you knew what the cards were coming out. You know, I think it would still be great if I knew every card that was coming out. So it was just like that, but I didn't ever know really much of it. I'll never forget, it was in like around 2013, and I went with my wife to the local casino down there, and they had one of those video blackjack ones. It was one with like the huge screen.
Yeah.
It wasn't the stadium ones that they called, but it was still one with the big screen and the girl, and you'd bet like $5. And I didn't know what I was doing, because I even remember some guy telling me, maybe I got aces or 80s. He says, oh, you always split those on. I said, oh, okay. I won a couple of bucks. Somehow my DVR recommended you guys Holy Rollers documentary.
Oh yeah, on Netflix, or
I don't even think it was on Netflix.
Okay,
it was like something like Independent Film Channel.
Okay,
it was some weird thing like that's deep in the cable thing, and I don't even know if my DVR recorded it, because I don't know if it was related to me by like a poker thing or something. Anyway, I watched it. I said, "Well, that's really cool," and just from there, I got a couple of apps on my phone. I used to sit down with my dog in front of the TV and a deck of cards and just count it down, you know. And then from there, I bought the membership on the website, and I just started actually really learning it, basic deviations. One thing I've never told anybody, I didn't know my deviations until the night before my first boot camp in 2015.
Oh, that's funny. And you just like
crammed. I got in early, and I just started going through the drill.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I learned it then.
Wow. So, okay, let's back up. So you were a little bit of a gambler already?
Not at all, actually.
Oh, not. But you just happened to go to a casino with...
Every now and then, my wife, she'd want to play slots or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a drinker.
Yeah.
So it's... the casino was kind of like a safe place for me to be, because it wasn't like a bar.
Yeah.
I kind of wander around. I felt like I could keep her occupied, too, at the same time. So she would play like slots, but really small.
Yeah.
I never forget, my first trip to Vegas was in 2010. We gambled all the $20 on one slot machine, the really huge slot machine in New York. We lost it quickly, and then from there, all we did was doing like sightseeing, like the canyon and all that other stuff, the Hoover Dam. You know, we did all that stuff.
So you weren't much of a gambler, but you were curious about, is there a way to actually, or it really was more the documentary being on.
It was a documentary. I thought it was very interesting how it seemed like you can essentially get something from nothing in a way, you know, because it's sort of like, I mean, they talk about this, you're not really doing anything, like I'm not making anything or, you know, doing anything specific, but I'm generating income, money. It seems like almost out of thin air. I know it's not, and that's oversimplifies it. But it was just a way to. At first, it was just we were, because I used to actually go with my wife, but then when I got serious with it, she wasn't a fun thing for her anymore.
Yeah,
and to this day, she won't even go. Like when she'll come behind me, she'll see me, and she'll usually usually go off really quickly. She says I make her nervous when I play. I don't know what that is. Maybe because I'm animated. I'm not angry. I don't like yell at anybody or anything like that. But I do get animated. I guess I kind of turn it on a little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get back to that. But you said you'd flip through a deck of cards, watching with the TV on with your dog, and then you bought a membership and you use the training drills.
I use the training drills a lot.
And that was the old drills.
It was the real old drills. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they really were, like, they were really hit or miss. I remember.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. But I remember I used to like that. It was that old deviation drill that just had like the different true counts.
Yeah.
On the bottom. Uh-huh. Just click it.
Yeah. So our original drill, maybe I've said this before, but they were created by Kevin Blackwood's son. Kevin Blackwood's like a famous card counter. Mm-hmm. I met him at the Blackjack Ball, and then we kind of became friends. There's a podcast interview I did with him, and it was, I drove, I think, man, I think my family was on a road trip. You know, me, my wife, our kids, and it might have been a blackjack road trip. I can't remember, but we swung by his house, and I did a podcast interview. And at the end, he's like, "Oh, my son's trying to learn, you know, programming. You have anything he could do?" And I was like, "Well, I always thought it'd be cool to have a few training drills." Yeah, cool. And so they were buggy because it was his first software project ever. But then it was kind of the catalyst to say, "Hey, we really want this for members of our site." So you use those, and then.
I use those as far as, and then I use, they're used to, I don't know if it's still on the website, but I remember when I first looked at the deviation charts, I didn't understand them. But you guys had a written out portion of it.
For those that don't know, to all our members, if you scroll below the deviation chart, it has a written out explanation of every single deviation.
Correct. Because I remember when I was first looking at it, it just looked confusing.
Yeah, it does. It
really confusing. And to this day, I remember what I did. I put that in Word, made the font small, and went to the FedEx Kinko's and made a laminated card.
Uh-huh.
I still have them on my desk at my office.
That's funny.
I used to carry them in my center console.
Uh-huh.
That's how I learned that. I did learn basic strategy a little bit different because before I had the membership, I did buy an app, and it was, I think I just typed in and it was like easy way to learn basic strategy. And it would be things like, you know, like 237, 237, you know, that sort of thing like that, you know, fours, 5-6, you know, 4-5-6, you know, for splits and,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
And stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. I still remember to this day too, I don't have, people always say I have a good memory. I don't think I have a photographic memory because I'm not really sure what that is. But I do see things in my head that I've looked at before. And I don't know if that's just the way normal people remember. Because like when I'm – I still do it when I'm playing. I actually see that card.
Yes.
And it's almost like on – like when you see on like the documentaries and in the editing, they say, okay, I got this. And that little chart comes up and they go over to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that chart. I just see that written out thing in my
yes.
head sort of like
– No, I do yeah. too. I visualize.
So, yeah, it's just a visualizing thing. I remember I always did that since I was a kid. And they would always say, oh, you got a good memory. But you don't need a good memory to do it.
No, I don't have a good memory.
Yeah.
So when did you feel ready to start playing?
I played before I was ready. I know okay. I played. I even kept charts. I bought the spreadsheet off the website, and I even kept charts from way back then.
Yeah.
To where I don't think I had a winning game. I couldn't have had a winning game.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think I had a winning bet spread. But I didn't lose.
Oh,
and it was very small things, and it's kind of weird going back there. And I think maybe that's also another thing looking at something, because when I go back through all those lines of sessions, I can remember the sessions.
Yeah,
like if I look at them, I remember the session.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool. And I actually have two different charts that I work with now. I usually do one with each year, and then I do a career one. But I was playing a lot. We had this little casino that had $5 minimums. And it was all stand 17, $5 minimums.
Wow, that's
so that
nice.
Was why my bet was, you know, true one. I would, you know, every true count, I'd throw another red chip on top.
Yeah.
You know. I think I went up to 25, and I didn't think I was doing two at that time.
Yeah, so once,
I remember
so
when
five
I had a $25
to,
bet, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. And you're sweating, and your hands are.
Yeah, I remember. I was just like, whoa, that's awesome. That is so
yeah,
awesome.
Totally.
Awesome.
I remember that too. I did the same thing. I did one spot of five to, you know, add. At first, I added a dollar per true count up to a $10
like
bet.
Like I said, you're really hardcore because when you talk about those road trips with the family doing blackjack, it's hard for me to have anybody with me that isn't a, you know, anybody with me. Because I don't know, I just go off and I gotta, but I still have that. I'm like, oh, I gotta check on them. But anyway, that's another story. So I started playing in there. I was playing a lot. Well, not really a lot. I thought it was a lot, but looking back at it, it wasn't that much. I mean, 100 hours in a year, that ain't nothing. You know?
Yeah.
Because then I got to a point where I was playing, 100 hours a month on some
months. Oh, my
gosh. You know, I didn't keep that up.
Yeah.
But there were some months where I got in a lot of hours in because my job had me traveling, and I was just always popping into casinos.
So it sounds like the lesson learned is either don't play before you're ready, like wait till your game's perfect, or be lucky. Is that
correct? And if you remember, do you remember calling me for my first boot camp?
I do.
You called me when I was in an area with a lot of casinos, but I wasn't there to gamble. I was there for work, and you called me. And you called me at the perfect time because what had just happened is I had lost all of my $800 bankroll.
Oh,
I essentially
man.
Built up from nothing.
Yeah.
On a double deck game. And looking back, it was a bad double deck game. I mean, the pin was you know, bad. Everything was just bad.
Yeah.
But I played it, and I lost. And I lost it rather spectacularly.
Yeah.
You know,
well, when all you're doing is winning, you get this really false self-confidence that, correct, hey, this is easy. Correct. And it, you know, I'm just going to keep winning. Once the other shoe drops, then you realize, okay, you know, margins are thin.
It's weird how we all have the same way of thinking. Because I just said that the other day. We're talking with a couple of other pros. I said, yeah, I have to remind myself that it's not easy because sometimes it does feel easy.
But yes.
I got to remember it's not easy.
I had that. When I was first training, I would go to the casinos with Ben, and I was adding a dollar per trick count or whatever, and I won like 500. Maybe my first time or with the first couple times, I won like $500. I remember being up 500, and I was just like, I thought I was just hot stuff. And I was like kind of, you know, humble bragging to people about it. And then over the next few training sessions, I lost all of it. I was back to zero. And that was when I was like, I don't know if card counting's for me. And then I got back into it like a year later with a couple $1,000s. And again, I just won right away. And it was like, this is amazing. This is so great and easy, you know. And then I was just hovering for like probably 100 hours or so, you know, like maybe slowly losing it back and really need it. You know, it's nice when you win right away, but it can actually be worse for you because then you just keep playing. You know, you could lose it back and then be like, well, I just got to keep playing. You know, when what you really need to do is perfect your game.
Yeah, I did at that point when I lost, I took a break from it. And I said, and at that point I said, well, look, if I'm actually going to do this, then, and so that's when I signed up for the boot camp.
Okay.
And, you know, made that investment. And I didn't play till after I got tested out. And then I started with a real bankroll at that point. And then I lost. I was losing. I mean, it's not like I was down. Well, I guess I was. I was down probably 80% on that bankroll. Now, it was a $5,000 bankroll.
Okay. So hold on. Let's back up. So you started losing. We talked on the phone.
Correct.
Because you were interested in the boot camp.
Correct.
You attended the boot camp. Or you took a break from playing, attended the boot camp. How did your test out go? I don't remember.
I still have it. Ben tested me out.
And you passed? Did you pass?
I passed.
Nice.
The only thing you wrote
nice
on
work.
There is not talk so much. He did that because I remember telling him, I said, you see, I was talking. I still got the count
right.
And everything. He said, yeah, you might not want to do that too much. He said, with what you're doing, you know, you don't want to draw too much attention, which I don't know if I've taken his advice.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, you know what? Find your own path.
Yeah. There are times when I am quiet.
You know, I would say, I'm sure I've said this before, but you got to prioritize perfect play. So some people, correct, they're so nervous or they don't want to look like a card counter that they talk more than they can.
That may have been what he was going for at that.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So you attended, you passed the evaluation, which, nice work.
I've got my little certificate.
Yeah. And then you put together a 5K bankroll.
Correct.
And you lost 80% of it?
Yeah, I remember
wow.
at one point, and this is, and you talk about...
That's pretty bad.
How sometimes it's, well, it's really bad, but now when I look at the actual real number, it's not that much, because it's like what, like $3,500, $3,800? I remember at one point having $1,200 and some change.
Okay.
And there was about three or four sessions where, I mean, it just caught traction, caught fire,
yeah,
and it just worked. And then it's like the whole thing, I mean, this is easy. I love card counting. This is great.
So with the 5K bankroll, was it like, well, if I lose this, I'll get put more together? Or was it like, if I lose this, I'm done?
I don't know. I never asked myself that question.
Oh, wow. That's
Why
crazy.
Did you ask me that question? That makes it sound depressing. No, I never really asked myself that question. I will tell you this, when I'm losing at times, and I have to remind myself, it's not that the money doesn't matter, but I guess it's all down to just whereas the money is not, it's not money in a sense, you know. And that goes back to the, I remember at my first boot camp, how y'all would say, I forget who said it, but it was almost like, you know, like with like a mining for gold or something like that. I remember there's some story you used to tell me, like, it's basically just a tool.
Yeah.
You know?
So yes.
It's a tool to get more of essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is in business, because I'll have friends ask me about it. I said, well, you know, in our regular business, we outlay all this money, you know, to get something. And my friend said, yeah, but I got something tangible there. Like I bought a piece of equipment or something.
Yeah.
I said, well, yeah, you got to look at money differently.
Okay. And did you consider with the 5K bankroll downsizing your betting, or you were just like, I'm just going to keep going?
I did not downsize my betting. Maybe I should have.
Well,
but I
did not. You might have felt confident past the evaluation.
No, listen, it wasn't. I never lived off of this money.
Yeah.
It's always, I guess you could say, and in the back of my mind, I'd always told myself, well, I guess I do have a replenishable bankroll because I have a job. None of the blackjack money was required to for my life. Mm-hmm. I told another pro at my second boot camp that I went to, just because I wanted to see if you guys are still alive, because there was a high
there was, yeah.
Years. Like, are these guys still alive?
Yeah, one year.
And I remember talking to a pro. I said, you know, if I lost it all, it wouldn't actually change anything. And that's another thing with my perspective on losing too. Okay. I find that I don't think about the, like, when I lose, it's like a really thing where it just kind of, it's gone. It happened. It's gone. And
yeah,
on to the next.
Cool. And how much of that do you think is your personality? How much of it is that you have a good job?
It's probably majority is the good job.
Yeah.
I really think so.
So this is an investment.
Correct. It is. I tell all the pros that do it full time, like, and I've talked with other people, I don't really know if I could do it as a total means for survival.
You know? Yeah.
It's good for the extra money and whatnot. And I'm using the money to invest in, other things.
Uh-huh.
Mainly my children.
Yeah.
In this time period, I've had a child graduate from high school and go to college.
No way.
Yeah. Dude. Well, she just graduated. She's starting college in the fall.
Holy cow.
Which that leads into a back off.
I figured your kids were like my kids' age.
No. What's your oldest? My oldest is 18 now.
My oldest is going to be 12 in a couple months.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. But no, my oldest, I started young. Yeah. Stupid kid, you know.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. So you're investing in card counting.
Correct.
And using that capital to invest in your kids' education.
Correct. There's a couple of little things, but mainly that, because I remember I was like, well, this is cool. We'll make the casino pay for this, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So you came to second boot camp. You joked that it was to see if we're like still alive.
I
but
I did. I don't know if I came to a second one just because, I mean, there was a discount. And I don't know. I just wanted to.
Yeah. For those that don't know, we always let people attend for half price that have already been to a boot camp. So that's what AMBJ 21 is talking about. But yeah, I remember that boot camp. It was the first one. We had kind of a year break, and that was when I bought Ben out, and he kind of moved on.
Correct,
but I remember vividly. I remember that boot camp.
I remember posting something on the forum, like, because we hadn't gotten beyond the felt in a long time. I'm like,
yeah,
what's up?
Yeah. So, and was your game still strong?
Yeah. It's always been strong as far from the mechanics, I guess, ever since then, and the perfect play and stuff. You do learn things just from the experience with it, and then the whole navigating the casino side of it. I think I'm much better at that.
Uh-huh.
I'm much better at traveling, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I started having to do that. There was a long time afterwards where, I mean, it was really, I didn't start traveling until, I guess it was 2018 or the end of 2017. I started traveling. Or maybe it was 2017. It seems like it wasn't that long ago, but then again, it seems very long ago that I started doing all of this, you know, at the same time. But yeah, there's just a lot of stuff where, as you know, just like anything, you can know it, but there is an experience side of it. But I would tell everybody to be just 100% completely perfect in the mechanics of
it.
Because if you're not, then everything just gets...
Sure.
It blows up, you know.
Yes.
The little things get just exploded.
Yes. So how much time... So I posted on the forum that I was going to be interviewing you and Ping Pong, and some people had some questions. One of them was, how much time do you still devote to practicing?
Usually between trips, as you know, I still go through the training drills there.
Yeah.
Because that's just the, I just like them.
How much between trips? Like, do you try to...
Usually before I go out, I'll just kind of freshen up, mm-hmm. you know. I'll look at my cards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got it at my, like I said, I have it at my, on my office. I got my little old original strategy cards.
Yeah.
And so I'll glance at them and stuff like that. You know, just make sure. I'll even do the, I got a, I don't know if this is an AP play, but I was at this little casino and they, I got, the cards, the playing deck cards. I went in there. I said, how much are they? She said, $2. I thought it was for like a deck or two. She said, no, it was for the whole box. How they come in those boxes. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think for somewhere in the neighborhood, like $4 and some change, they charged me tax. I got so many cards.
Awesome.
So that was something I got back. And I remember I'd group them together for like to look at penetration, just to train my eyes for penetration. And I would also throw a whole bunch together, you know, just for like counting things, turning over cards and whatnot like that. Yeah. Just stuff like that, just to make you, just to stay fresh. I don't know if it's like riding a bike, but every time I go to a table, even if I haven't played in a while, because it can usually be as much as a 2-week period between times that I last play.
There's a certain point at which, you know, I feel like at this point it'd be hard for me to forget. And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this forever and training people for 11 years now. But I know what you mean. But, yeah, I'll be asking some of the other pros how much time they still devote to practicing. I think it's a good question. So things started working. You're down to like 1,200 and change. Mm-hmm. Things start working. Where did things go between that first and second boot camp as far as your bankroll?
It has just been on a steady up from there. So the first was the 5. I doubled that. And then as things go, I actually then won another 6,000 really quick.
Oh, wow.
I think it was in 3 sessions.
Jeez.
I mean, it was sessions to where I was winning so much that I just left. I was like, we got to go, you know?
Yeah.
Because I remember at this small casino that I was playing, I had really good conditions and everything. But they would... the tables were right where the cashier was. I mean, it was immediately behind you. Turn around, there was a cashier, you know. And if you would get anything close to 2,000, they would get on the phone.
Oh, wow.
So they would call just where I was.
Uh-huh.
You know. And I remember being more new at that time. I thought, oh, that may be a bad thing to have them keep calling back and, you know, calling me out, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I would kind of try to. But I remember I won another 6,000 really quick.
Uh-huh.
Then there was a time after that where it was actually almost immediately after that where I had wiped out almost all of my winnings, I think, except for $2,000 maybe. Oh, wow.
So you were back to like 7K?
Correct, yeah.
And then...
And it sucked. And I remember thinking, well, this sucks. I actually have on my notes times when I have big losses.
Yeah.
It's just real kind of like, this sucks. That's all said.
Yeah, this yeah. Sucks. To have it just be like, hey, it's working. I've doubled my bankroll. I tripled my
and
starting bankroll.
I remember
bankroll.
I was at the end of a year, and I basically, everything that was, it just went right back down.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So that was...
How many hours was that? 100 hours? 200?
There was a time. So I have 1 year where it was 547 hours.
Wow. But that wasn't that year. You weren't...
No, it wasn't that year. It was the year before that, which I still think I was at 350 hours for that year. Yeah, I was playing what I considered a low EV. I think I was supposed to be getting around $50 an hour because I remember thinking to myself, well, $50 an hour. Again, I would think back what you would say. I mean, you do a job for $50 an hour, right?
Yeah.
And someone said, look, I got this job where you're kind of just hanging out, playing a game. I'll pay you $50 an hour. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I'm there. You know?
But you weren't winning $50 an hour.
Correct, yeah.
So... At the end of the year, you're up about $2,000. Did you think about giving it up? Or
No. You know why? Because I always remember. I was like, well, look, I've got more money than when I started.
Yeah.
You know.
And so you kept going, and how was year two?
Okay, so year two, that's when things got really big. I think I made, on that year alone, I think I was close to 70. It's in the mid-60s.
Yeah.
I camped on a game for forever. I mean, it was like a job.
Yeah.
I would go home and take a nap.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife would make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the way out. And I would go to this casino that was 45 minutes away from my house.
Uh-huh.
And I would play. And they
putting the kids
me.
Through college. That's
yeah,
awesome.
They would. They all knew me. They still all know me to this day. I've been backed off from that casino. I want to say I told another pro. I was like, I officially think don't know how many times I've been backed off from this casino. I think I may have just put .. on my thing because at this point, every time I go in there, I'm probably going to get backed off. But that was my biggest casino because I just camped at it for so long. I think I got almost 300 hours in there.
Wow.
Which is actually, in talking to other people, I know some other people have gotten a couple more hours than that at their quote unquote home casino.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, at that time, it was just awesome. And I was like, I remember even saying, I was like, they must be asleep at the wheel at the, in the surveillance. I wanted to see the surveillance room. I think there's a whole bunch of people sleeping in there.
Uh-huh.
There would actually be plays where they would call the surveillance to double check it.
Yeah.
My famous, I had 2x300 out, and I wanted to buy insurance. I had to jump up and buy more money. That was another thing I learned from Ben on that very first test.
Oh, yeah,
Always put your hand
in. That's right.
Yeah. And, I jumped up. I had my hand out.
Yeah.
And I was going for money, and she flipped it over. She hit blackjack. So at that point, wow.
Yeah.
That play. You thought the play was good before you knew for sure she had blackjack.
Yeah.
It was really good now. Yeah, stopped the game and everything and called the surveillance. And they told me that the reason why they sided for me is because the hand was out.
Yes, that's right.
Did you always say, Colin, I remember from the very beginning, he said, look, that was the one thing that they don't have a hand signal for.
That's right. It's the only playing decision that they don't need a hand signal for.
Yeah, it's a verbal thing, you know.
Yep.
You know, are you actually, I guess, putting the chips in the space over there? But, and I still continue to play for a long time after that.
That was a $600.
Correct. Yeah, I remember the pop. He got mad and left. He left his on the table. Which he was stupid. He should have threw money up too at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, so where are we at? I was going to say this. There are probably people listening saying, well, gosh, he's so lucky. He had a local game that he was able to play 350 hours at. And I've been thinking about this. I feel like anyone that does this long enough, you know, you'll find a great game. Mm-hmm. It might not be your local place, but you talk to any pro and they found something at some point, something amazing, you know? You can talk about Yoshi beating a place in Arizona for 100K. Yeah. And other card counters are like, how did that happen? How did they let him play? Well, you know,
I said, how did he leave with it? That's why I asked. I said, well, how did he get that? And how did he walk out of the place?
Yeah. Or, you know.
I start thinking about the logistics of actually, because, when I start winning big, I start thinking about the logistics of, okay, I got to get this out of here and I got to get them to pay me for it. So that's another thing.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, you can have the attitude of like, well, that's not fair. I don't have a local game that I can play 350 hours at. But I would say, you know, you play long enough, you create your own luck. You're going to find some valuable games, you know. And there's variance from card counter to card counter of how things go. But I feel like in the long run, card counters fine or APs find some good stuff.
Enough hours, the math does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It always does. So, it's the weirdest thing.
So George 21 wants to know, how long did it take to get where you are now as far as hours and years? How many hours have you played?
I'm right at 1,000.
1,000. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't add it all up, but I know I'm right at 1,000.
And you're about 4 years in?
Yeah. So that was it was the end of 2015. It was actually around, it was in November of 2015 was that first boot camp.
And you're in the six figures of profits.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. We'll leave it at that. Prometheus 21 wants to know, are you more of an optimizer or a maximizer?
I'm definitely a maximizer.
Yeah, you just go for the money.
I'll go if they give me a $5 or $10 minimum double deck. I'll do it, man.
Yeah,
I'll do it. You know, when I started thinking, I was like, wow, I'm gonna have an awesome spread. This is gonna be a very wide spread.
And you know, really, what I think his question, if I remember the full question, it was kind of like, well, what is the better path? And I would just say that there's no black and white answer, you know,
because you don't know until you do it.
You don't know, and there are people that have success as maximizers. You know, I think Joe is an extreme example because he just can't help himself. If he could go 10 to 2 spots of 1,000, he'll do it.
Correct,
And he's had success with it. And then other people, you know, they use, you know, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do as radical of a bet spread, and they're making money too. So I think some of it comes down to, you know, just kind of plotting out your own course and deciding which way you want to go about it.
Well, you never know, and then you always say, don't back yourself off.
Yes.
And I think that's almost like a form of backing yourself off. Mm-hmm. If you kind of, you know, hedge your bets, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you don't do exactly, you know, the full.
Yeah.
Then that is a way. And
then
for what? They don't care. And usually what I have found, you know, because you play so many different places, and it usually just any type of movement with the count, and it could be small bets.
Yeah.
They'll ask you to leave.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, well. But then you find those places, like you say.
Yeah.
You don't know why they're letting you play, but they are letting you play, so you just continue to play.
Yeah.
You know.
I was just talking with Sassy Red about long streaks of not winning or you know, we call them losing streaks or whatever, like time between all-time highs. And, you know, what do you really do about it? And I'm sure I've said this before, but you control what you can control. Mm-hmm. And so what I ask myself is, what could I have done better? Should I have been more aggressive, you know, with my bets? Should I, was I letting my game slide at all? You know, could I have played better conditions, you know, better pen, better rounds per hour? Because those are really the things we can control, and we could just blame variance or whatever. But I look back at, you know, I've had in my career a couple, you know, losing streaks or not winning streaks. And my biggest question is, what things could I have done that could have shortened it or shorten that losing streak, you know? Or if you look at, you know, if you're playing a game, what's your average EV? Probably 100 to 200 an hour ish.
Well, I shoot for about low 200s. So some games will give you over 300. Even if that's red, some games give you over 300. So it's a real little risk too. I mean, as far as
so, let's say your average EV is 250. You know, are there things that over you know, what's 100 hours of play would be $25,000 of EV, right? Well, are there some decisions that of that $25,000 of EV could have saved you a few thousand dollars, you know?
I spoke to Sassy too just recently, and it was kind of along that same line too, is where I will tell myself that if I don't do how I put in it, then my numbers mean nothing. If I'm expecting to make $250 an hour, but I'm not going to play, I'm going to say, oh, well, I'll come back a little bit on this because I am losing so much.
Yep.
Then, you know, then that just throws everything off.
Yeah.
You know, it just the numbers mean nothing at that point. You know, you're working with, you're kind of, at that point, I don't like working in that where I don't know exactly what I'm, you know, what I'm expecting at this for this. And there's been times where I'm playing where you're with games and they start going really slow, or there's just some things, like maybe it's bad pin, maybe it's other people at the table, you know, and then that's where I always say about efficiency. And I just won't tolerate those games, you know. Mm-hmm. I try to be efficient in everything I do, and I'm not saying that I'm 100% efficient, but it goes down to like where I'm at right now. I can drive and get to a place with casinos, but it's only three casinos, and it's the same amount of time that it takes me to get on a plane and get to here, and there's an awful lot more casinos around here. I haven't played every casino in Vegas.
Wow.
There's some that kind of skeeved me out. I'm like, I'm gonna get robbed going in that place. Yeah. I'll leave that one. You know.
Yeah.
But so that's what, you know, and I mean, I just always try to be efficient and just try to, I'll only play heads up for the most part now.
Yeah.
I'll always look for another table. Again, something from my first boot camp. I remember, I think there was a question you posed. Okay, you got a table here, you got a table here, you're here. What do you do?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember y'all posed it in such a way to where it's like, oh, well, they all have reasons why you would pick either one of those tables, but which is the right one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So wrapping it up as far as optimizer, maximizer, just be aware of the decisions you're making and how it's going to affect, you know, affect the long run. If you want to be an optimizer, that's great. Just be aware, like those,
everything you do affects the long run.
Hands yeah.
Hour, the amount you're betting.
The long run might be longer.
You're playing penetration
and,
on the games.
And the EV will be less if you're an optimizer, and that's okay. Just be aware. Hey, these decisions I'm making cost me this amount and will take me this much longer. And as long as you can, you know, stomach that, then, you know, be a optimizer. Otherwise, you know, get the money. So Bourbon wants to know, well, all right, I'm going to read this. He said, first off, you've been posting for well over 2 years now. Your advice is always positive and spot on. And for that, I would just like to thank you, because as others are reading older posts, it's very helpful. That's cool that people are going back and reading. I mean, gosh, we got a lot of posts now over the years. But he said, you mentioned you're married, and I'd like to know how you balance the married life and the AP life, and also how frequently you take trips. Are they week-long trips or just weekends?
So my trips are long weekends.
Okay.
Usually like a Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I'll try to sometimes do an early morning Thursday, and then it helps when you go to the West Coast because you get 2 hours back.
Yeah.
So my trips are always weekends.
When do you fly back Sunday or?
Yeah, I fly back Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And it does kind of suck because it's usually a late flight. So when I get back, like I'll get back Monday actually when I do get back.
Yeah.
Because you know, then the time changes. So
yeah.
You get 2 hours going, but then when you come back, you got to pay that 2 hours back on the way back.
Yeah.
So.
But you can get a basically 3 day trip out of that.
Correct. Well, I actually will push it to, no, it's right at about, because if I leave early on Thursday, I can get almost a full 4 day because I have a late flight. And you know, with these flights, when they get delayed, you start getting extra hours.
Yeah.
As long as they tell you that it's delayed before you get to the airport.
Yeah.
That's a check before you go to the airport. There's a tip.
And how many trips do you take on average?
I try to take at least once a month where I'm flying places. I'll probably do this summer twice a month.
Uh-huh.
Just because with my real job, as they say. I mean, last year, actually, Southwest sent me this nice thing saying, wow, great. And I think it was like 20-something flights that I had taken.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like I took that many flights, but I guess I did. I don't know.
10 trips, 20 flights.
Correct, yeah. I think they said it was like 22 flights, and it's like, all right, you're almost A-list. Keep at it. And I'm like, okay, great.
And how's your wife supportive of all this?
She's very supportive.
Right on.
She's very supportive. It can be hard at times not being there.
Yeah. You know,
'cause things happen. When I first started this, my kids were younger, and now they're actually getting older.
Yeah.
When you like an older kid, the only thing, I mean, you could feed them with a slingshot now. They don't really seem to, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Adam Carolla said that, like, these older kids, especially boys, he said, yeah, it's like taking care of an old cat. All you got to do is feed it every once in a while, you know. It kind of leaves you alone. It leaves you leave it alone. But, I mean, it is hard at times. Like, actually, on this particular trip, it's a little difficult, you know, because there's things that go on at home. But in those instances, and I used to not be like this, this is something that Blackjack actually, I think, taught me. Because there's in life, there's always things that are just out of your control, like we were speaking of. And so there's things that are out of my control, and then there's some things that, you know, I could sit there and beat up myself. And I used to do that. I used to be like you would say, like, what could I do differently? How can I change this? Mm-hmm. But then it becomes a point where you just have to accept that you can't change it, and this mm-hmm. is what it is. And you can, as you say, you know, control the things you can control.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as everybody's okay back at home,
yeah,
you know, I can control this right here, right now. And I came here to do a certain task, so I got to do the certain task, you know.
How do your kids feel about this?
Well, my so my youngest daughter, she is 10. She doesn't, I don't think she knows.
Yeah.
My older daughter, 18, she's like, when are you going to bring me? She knows a lot. Like,
yeah.
She was making fun of me about this.
So this is a total tangent, and it's a kind of a stupid story. But there's when we filmed some videos with David Loudonofton and Dusty. And before that, there were a couple the people helping film it are a couple card counting friends, and they were just doing at the blackjack table doing some practice. And my 11-year-old was like sitting there, and so they start dealing him in, and he doesn't know what he's doing at all, but he won, and now he's like, oh yeah, no, I can play blackjack. And I just keep telling him, like, dude, you don't know what you don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna have to deal to him and destroy him.
I dealt my daughter in on one time at the table there. I was just playing the table. I dealt her in. Well, actually, then I was like, I was being the dealer and she was playing.
Yeah.
And I told her just the basic, and she was keeping the count.
Yeah.
Wow. I would do that. What's the count? I didn't throw anything at her and yell at her in her face. You know,
yeah.
I did it nicely. Hey, what's the count, sweetie? And she told me.
Nice.
So yeah.
My younger kids, they'll like see my blackjack table. They'll be like, "Oh, that's Daddy's Blackjack Apprenticeship in there." So that's all they know about it. It's like, "Oh, that's Daddy's Blackjack Apprenticeship."
That table's awesome. Give me
So how do you decide where to travel to?
I just get info from other pros. You know, we'll just give me like little, you know, maybe something they've heard of.
Yeah,
I usually look to see just what's in the area.
Yeah.
I'll then balance it with how long the actual flight is. You
sure.
know, it seems to be about 3.5-4 hours seems to be my limit at that
okay.
point. I may
yeah.
open the door and jump out, you know?
Yeah.
Mostly that, the opportunities in the area. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, there's this, or there's a pretty good game here, or there's this. And in some areas that I go out west, you know, there's just not games like that in my, I guess what you would consider my home market. And I'm pretty burnt out of my home market. But having said that, I can still go and play.
Yeah.
I mean, you still go and play. Can I go and put in a 10-hour session, you know, with Red Bull cans all around me? No. But I can go play.
Yeah.
And everything is just one big long section. So
yeah.
I have an hour here and 30 minutes there.
Yeah.
And another hour there. Well, hey, I just got 2.5 hours in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
yep.
it's the same as if I sat at that one place for 2.5 hours. I mean,
yep.
mathematically, it's the
yeah.
same. It's exactly
yeah.
the same.
You just took some breaks and changed locations.
Correct. Yeah. A lot of breaks in between. That's
yeah.
what it is. A lot of breaks in between. One big long session. This is a break right here.
So do you keep Jack kind of wants to know, like, basically, you keep your bankroll separate?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have the benefit. You're not doing this. You're not having to pay your mortgage out of
no.
your blackjack profits.
I was told when I first started doing this, don't bring your rent or your mortgage payment
yeah.
into the casino.
Yes.
So I said, okay.
That's good advice. have you spent any of it on just something you wanted to enjoy?
I mean, you go on a couple of trips where I brought my wife. I think I've only brought her on 2 trips. And the casino's paid for that. I'm trying to think. I did actually buy a car, which was stupid.
Because it's a liability, not an asset?
Correct. And also since I don't drive it. And so it's sitting in my garage.
Oh, that's funny.
And then I got to sit there and worry about, I might actually have it for sale. Maybe I must buy a car.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, no. About that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just stupid stuff like that. My phone, you know.
Yeah.
I'll, you know, but I don't, I guess I'm not you really using, I don't know. There's not one big thing except maybe the car.
Yeah.
You know. And then I'm selling that. So hey.
Yeah, the car, the yeah, watch,
it's negative
the phone.
EV. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. It really is an investment for you.
Yeah, it was mainly it was an investment, and I had always. I remember when I first started doing it. I was always like, well, I'm not spending any of this money. I'm not going to spend any of this money.
Yeah.
You know, because I had to build up the bankroll,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to spend any of it.
Well, you're putting your money where your values are, like in your kids' education. Like correct. That's so you're that's aligned, yeah. You're aligned with what your yeah. values are, and that's really all I want for people that you know use Advantage Play to further you know your true life goals or personal goals or whatever.
I mean, I guess the extra income in a sense it'll loosen up other things and where uh-huh. I may not be going, you know, to box and peeling off you know a couple $100 bills to go buy something. It loosens things in other regards, sure. you know, uh-huh. because you do have this other income stream yeah. that mm-hmm. turned into be, you know, sometimes it's more than your original income stream. And it's like, yeah. okay, well, didn't expect that.
Yeah. Cool. So a few more questions. George21 wants to know, do you feel like a card can career has to end? Like there's just going to be too many trespass and back offs, or are there just enough fresh casinos that you can pretty much go on as long as you choose to? I mean, you're what, 4 years into it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have, I mean, that have proved.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy's been doing it for 30-something years.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the funny thing about Tommy is he kind of has the same loop. You know? It's not like he has to say, okay, well, you know, I've got 50 states, and I haven't been to this state in yeah. 4 years. He just kind of does the same loop over yeah. and over.
Yeah. So do I think that there is an end? I think that there is an end, but I think it's basically a personal decision.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's like, oh, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
There's no place that I can actually do this anymore.
There can know? Be some diminishing, like you don't have another local 350-hour casino, mm-hmm. but you know, so there are some diminishing returns, but as far as like being unable to, I feel you're right. Too many people have proven you can, you know, continue to do this.
Well, but even that with the traveling, I don't find the traveling to be that expensive. Now, yeah. again, this is all perspective. Everything scales, you know.
Yeah.
If I was a 22-year-old, then oh my God, that would be just I couldn't do it, you know. It would, but you know, everything scales, you know. So,
what do you mean you couldn't do it if you're 22?
Just money wise, you know, $600 yeah. when I was 22 is a lot different than as you could probably attest
yeah,
to.
Yeah, for the flight. Yeah.
yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't find the traveling to be that expensive.
Yeah.
I do have some good situations too where I have some areas that I can go in. I've spoke to you about that to where it's almost like I don't have an expense, but they mm-hmm. are traveling trips.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of casinos. Maybe mm-hmm. that's why I'm burnt out in one of them almost 100%. Yeah. There's one place that hasn't backed me off in that one market. I'm like, I probably should have to just go in there and yeah. wear a shirt that says something stupid. I don't know.
So Cal3Kel, if I'm he wants to know, given 2020 hindsight, when it comes to your training in early AP play specifically, what would you change or do differently and why? Maybe we kind of already covered this.
Yeah, what everybody always says, not until you're 100% ready.
Yeah.
And you got to have a bankroll because that's yeah. one of my sayings when I get backed off. All you got to do is have enough money to beat the game and, you know, win, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
And it's just the perfect play.
Perfect play. Yeah.
And then the bankroll because you need that tool. I mean, you can know how to build a house all day, but if you don't have a couple some wood or some nails yes. and a hammer, you're not going to build no houses.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it probably sound like a broken record, but it really is as simple as perfect play, money management, and getting in the hours. You have those three things, like you're going to be fine. But a lot of people try to do it without one of those things.
Correct, and that's the good thing as far as with the math and everything. You have no choice but to be successful. If you have those, if you have everything, if you have those things in place, then you have no choice but to be successful.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I don't think you do have any choice but to be successful.
Yeah.
If you have if you're betting appropriately, if yep. you're playing and betting appropriately, you have the right amount of bankroll for what you're betting.
Yep.
Sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, as long as you get in those hours. So do you, when you travel now, do you pay for rooms or you still get them comped?
I'm mostly on a refusal. I do have maybe three, maybe four cards that I cycle, but most of them are tainted in some sort of way. So it's kind of hit or miss with using them. I don't really get new points. There's one place where I may get new rated play, but every other place, no. And when the comps run out, they run out. You can find, inexpensive hotels and stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't even have to be like, dumps either. You can usually find deals.
Yeah. So for those who didn't understand, a refusal means you're mostly playing without a player's card. And just because the player's cards you have, they're going to get you some trouble. So that's the same with me. I can't remember the last time I played rated. So at this point, I feel like the last, number of years, it's been playing without a player's card, pay for the room.
That home casino that I got the almost 300 hours at, I got backed off after I started playing rated. Now, it could be just a coincidence, because I've been backed off a lot of places without being rated. So it could be just a coincidence. But I said, well, it makes them easier to track me.
Okay, so Ping Pong wants to know, it wants you to share some of your back-off stories. There are these rumors that you've got some of the best back-off stories.
I don't think I have the best.
Okay, well, what comes to mind?
I mean, there's so many of them. I'm trying to think what I told him last. I know last time I saw him, I got backed off at. Okay, so I was in this area. I got backed off at this place with the Hall of Fame. I actually was in that place longer looking at the Hall of Fame than I was playing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I just like all the, I got pictures of it, all the little pictures and stuff. And so I'm playing my game, and the guy had come up, asked me if I had a card before, and I take note of his name. And then he comes and he sits down next to me. And I know what's happening. So I usually, he'll say, hey, can we talk? I say, yeah, man, what's up? And, and then he'll start talking to me about, oh, you're too good, that sort of stuff. I said, look, I can guarantee I'm not too good. And then I'll usually, what I find when you get backed off, usually the people in the pit, like the little person just approving, color ins and buy-ins and all that other stuff, they usually seem to, it's funny, they seem to not make eye contact with me. Like they're off on the side, like they ratted me out and they don't want to look me in the eye.
They're ashamed of what
and
they've
so
done.
So it was a younger girl, and I said, why didn't you have her back me off? And he said, what, you want her to back you off? I said, yeah, come over. And then they had another guy shuffling through the discard tray. I said, did you find the ace I was looking for? Because I usually tell them that I'll go max bet. I said, did you find it I was looking for? You saw a couple of hands ago I was looking for it, right? So at that point, I usually try and get them to tell me why they're backing me off, but I only had one tell me I was an advantage player.
Okay. So they say you're too good, but only once have they said,
they always dance around that.
Yes.
That is the weirdest. Good. You're just too good.
Yeah. They won't say it.
So a couple of things I always tell them, I know I'm not too good. I say, come on, man, I know I'm not too good. And then I usually give my line about you just got to have enough money to win, which is really, just stupidly simple,
Yeah.
It's Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
If I don't have any money, then I can't win.
Yeah.
So if I have enough money, then I'll continue to win. I did, going back to with my wife, I got backed off with my wife.
Uh-huh.
My wife, she's no way an advantage player.
Uh-huh.
My wife will tell me that I'm doing the wrong thing.
Oh, that's
She'll
funny.
Ask me what to do on a hand. A few times that I've played more recently with her, because when we used to play, we were I knew some stuff, but I wasn't perfect. And I will tell her the correct thing to do, and she'll still go off on her.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is kind of weird, because it's sort of like, well, you kind of...
She just doesn't trust you. That's funny.
I don't know.
Hilarious.
But she went off to the bar to get a drink, and I was playing. I was just with her, and I wasn't going to play. But, of course, as us in these these AP people are, we get a count, and we're like, okay. So I start throwing out the bets. Two people walk up. Two guys walk up. They always walk up from God knows where. I don't know. I think there's a trap. They appear from somewhere. You can be looking for them, but they will just appear. And so anyway, he's backing me off. The game's too good and everything about like that. But my wife had some chips on the table, and she was coming to walk back up. I said, what about my wife? I said, can she still play? They both looked at each other dumbfounded. They're like, oh, jeez. I said, I can guarantee she's not too good. And she's like, well, No, I don't think she can play either.
That's funny. You got your wife backed off.
Yeah.
They probably weren't going to.
I haven't gotten any just random ploppies, but I got her backed off. I guess in hindsight, I should have just stayed behind her and told her what to do. But like I said, she doesn't listen. I've had security at an MGM property. They all of a sudden told me that I was trespassed from every... And that was another place where I was getting some good time in. I thought, these people don't know nothing, you know.
They can't do that. They can't trespass you from a property.
Yeah, I know. I'll go here, and I'll tell, like, I'll be with somebody else. I say, hey, I'm not supposed to be here. Don't tell nobody.
That's funny.
And, so there's been two times when security has been hotly on my tail. And it's not that I'm running, but I have a tendency to walk fast. And I'll usually tell the security that's at the front, hey, someone's following me. And I'll just continue to go, and I'll see him turn around and look.
So that's funny.
I'll do that because that place was actually a long walk, and they didn't follow me. I was actually a little mad on that back off. I don't remember why. Maybe because they thought I don't know. Some of these people just make it as if I offended their mother. I think I asked a lady one time. I said, "What did I do? You know what you did." And I was like, "Man, this is like a bad girlfriend breakup here."
That's funny.
You know what you did.
I've heard you also learn every employee's name in the pit.
I don't learn them as far as I can remember them, but I get all their names. Yeah, I look at all their names just because I like calling them by. Because they undoubtedly always ask me what my name is if I have ID. So I'll usually flip it right back at them.
Yeah.
And I'll call them by their name and ask me if they have some ID.
That's funny. So it seems like you're still enjoying this at Advantage Play 4 years
in. I am. I mean, it has its ups and it has its downs, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes back from my first boot camp, I remember Joe telling us, you know, it's like two steps forward and one step back on steroids.
Yeah.
Blackjack's great, man. Blackjack's great. It's the next thing. This sucks, man. Blackjack sucks. You know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what's been maybe one of the biggest surprises of your career?
I guess I just keep going back. My first back off, I was scared.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I have to admit something. I was scared.
Uh-huh.
Casino manager came. I got on the phone immediately with my wife.
Uh-huh.
He backed me off and trespassed me at the exact same time. Told me he would arrest me if I come back. My wife said, did he say he was going to arrest you?
Wow.
I said, I think he did. I got on the phone with my wife just because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So I figured if I was on the phone, it was sort of a reason why I may, you know, I got to take this call sort of thing like that. Yeah. 2 seconds. Oh, what's happening? The house is burning down. I got to go, guys. You know, it was kind of my excuse. And that was a casino where it was this riverboat casino where it was a long walk to the parking lot. It was over a levee and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember one of those first things, Loudon used to write that split double destroy thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was one place where he had gotten backed off pretty quickly from. Yeah. He's very colorful in his writing.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what he was talking about.
He's still writing. He's going to put a book out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. That's going to be cool. All right. Well, last question for you. Any future goals or plans or aspirations?
So I asked myself that. That goes back to that original, is there an end? And I asked myself if there's an end. Is there a money end or if there's just an end where I don't want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess once I get to 7 figures, I may stop doing it for a little while.
Uh-huh. You know?
I think most do because at that point, you know,
How
much money can you have, right, Colin?
Yeah, you're not going to get to 8 figures.
You need, the rest is all for show, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I think I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. It's been good to me. It'll probably just wind up being a money thing.
Yeah.
I'll probably have just a certain amount of money and I'll just be like, well, maybe I won't go.
You know? Yeah.
Because there is a thing on all these trips. It's like the very beginning of the trip is usually like, oh my God, I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this flight is full. I was hoping I would have that poor man's first class where I have that, you know, middle seat.
Yeah.
All to myself.
Yeah.
But usually when I get at it and I get into it, it then goes by pretty quickly and I'm just getting to the groove. Yeah.
Cool.
So basically I guess the stopping point that I see right now would probably be a money thing because now my life is kind of lining up to where it's easier to go is where before it was harder to go with kids being younger and whatnot.
But well, we'll have to check in at the 7-figure mark and see if you're still going or
we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Awesome.
I'll come in some bad suit and cheesy sunglasses. You could ask me what you spend it on this horrible suit.
Well, thanks so much for taking an hour and sharing your story with us. And if you guys have more questions, ask him on the forum. He's happy to answer.
I'm pretty open.
Yeah, awesome.
People send me messages. Yeah, I'm pretty open.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And if you guys have more questions or anything, check it out on our forum or check out our resources on the membership or come to a boot camp and maybe you'll meet AMBJ21 in person.
Yeah, come to a boot camp. They're awesome.
All right. See you guys later.